In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We usually get together with family at Christmas, right? Eat our ham or our turkey and sit around and chat, play some games. But there's something kind of funny about family gatherings. On the one hand, we can't wait to see our family, especially if we haven't seen them in a while, especially if we live far away. You know, all excited to get together with family again. Well, you got all those Christmas commercials, you know, with everybody driving through the snow in their new car, you know, going home to see grandma or whatever. So we like that. But as it so often happens, before long at the family gathering, we're quite ready to get away from our family again, right? You all know what I'm talking about, right? Our few hours with them, or if they're far away, our few days with them, and then we're kind of ready to retreat back to our own domiciles, right? Well, why is that? We like our family close, but not too close, right? I had to laugh when I called my mom a couple weeks ago, told her our plans. We're headed down there to Southern Illinois right after church today. And we're only staying till Wednesday morning. I was a little nervous that she was going to be disappointed, you know. So I'm like, well, how long were you thinking we were going to stay, you know? But alas, I was wrong. When I told her, I think we're going to take off Wednesday morning, she says, oh, good, because I'm really going to need some time by myself by then. Like, wait a minute, yeah. So we're not even there, and you're already looking forward to us leaving, yes. Okay. You get my point, right? And don't ever tell my mom that I said that. But that's kind of the way we like it, you know, close but not too close. And here is where, then, we run face first into this major problem with God. God isn't going to accept our close but not too close policy. That's not the way He works. Remember in the Garden of Eden, God was close with Adam and Eve, and everything was perfect. You know, it's like the song everybody wants at their funeral, in the garden, right? Everything was perfect. God was with them in the garden. Well, they didn't ever think, why doesn't God ever leave us alone? You know, or they didn't ever think, isn't it about time for God to go back to heaven? No. There was no too close for comfort. You see, too close was comfort. They were comforted by God's presence with them. Well, then, you all know very, very well what happens. Satan comes too close to them. And after they sinned, then they didn't want God close to them at all. In fact, when they heard Him coming, what did they do? They ran and hid, right? Because they didn't want God getting too close. And if you remember God's question, we actually heard it in both services last night. What was God's question? He said, why are you hiding? Why are you hiding? I mean, can you hear God's broken heart there? Why are you hiding from me? Why do we hide from Him? It does break God's heart. It breaks His heart that sinners like us would keep Him at a distance. You stay over there, God, right? I'm going to live my life over here, and I'm going to live it the way I want to live it, and you just stay over there until I need you for something, and then I'll call for you. You might remember, there's some stories in the Old Testament that are very enlightening about this. One of them is when the Israelites have come out of Egypt, out of slavery, and they're encamped at Mount Sinai there, and God comes down to them on the mountain. And you would think, oh, that'd be wonderful, right? But what do they say afterward? Keep Him away from us. Okay, Moses, you go talk to God and then just come and tell us what He said, because we don't want to be too close to Him. Right? They were scared of Him. And this is kind of a common theme through the Old Testament. And we heard in our Old Testament reading today, God had to do special things for Him. He had them set up this tabernacle where His glory could dwell there so that He was actually somewhat approachable for them. Otherwise, He was just too close. And that truly is the way that we are with God. Close, but God not too close. There was a very interesting study. I may have used this before in a sermon. I apologize. I couldn't remember if I had or not. A little over 10 years ago, there was a study that was done about what do American teenagers believe? What's their faith? Okay, and two sociologists, you know, they wrote this book about it. And they concluded that the dominant faith among American teenagers was something called deism. And you may have heard of deism because some of our founding fathers of our United States were deists, like Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin. Okay, it was the cool thing to do for a while, maybe you say. Well, now, a deist is one that believes in a God, but not the God of the Bible, per se. Right? He believes that there is a God in heaven. He did create the world, but this God is not in the business of interfering with the world. He lets nature do everything and run everything. He lets the world go on its way, okay? Now, that was found to be the dominant faith of American teenagers, and it makes a lot of sense, right? And now, obviously, they didn't say, we're deists. They probably didn't even know what the word deist is. But the way they answered the question said their beliefs were actually deists. So here's basically what I mean. They believe in a God, but they don't believe that God really ever interferes with anything in their lives, right? They believe in a God that basically wants two things. He wants people to be happy, and he wants them to be good. Now, okay, that kind of sounds like a nice God, maybe, but it's a God that doesn't exist, right? That is, sad to say, the dominant faith of our American Christianity. It happens to be something that comes quite naturally to us because we can easily say, well, sure, I believe in God, but, well, does he do anything in particular? Well, not really. I mean, I'm not going to pray to him or anything, but he wants me to be happy and to do some good things. And that, understand, I'm not saying you all do that, you understand, but that is a kind of natural way of keeping God not too close. We like a God who wants us to be happy, you know, like a really nice grandpa, but we don't want him in our business. We don't want him telling us that we're sinners or telling us we need to repent or go to church or anything. No, that's too close. And so just like Adam and Eve then, what we do, we pretend that we can hide from him. I mean, you've thought about that. How silly was it for Adam and Eve to think, oh, we'll go hide in these trees. He'll never see us here. I mean, it's just kind of silly, but that's, of course, what we do. When we're believing like deists, we think we can just hide from God. But here comes Christmas, right? This is where I said you're going to run face first into it. Here comes Christmas, and God comes to find us, right? Just like he did in the Garden of Eden. Only this time he comes in a way that he could even be much closer to us than he had ever been. He came to be so entirely close to us that he came in our own flesh and blood. Now, this, I think, is interesting. When we think of the Christmas story, we think of everybody going to find Jesus. And, you know, there's the slogan, wise men still seek him. And that's kind of the way we picture it. And it's kind of true. You got the shepherds, the wise men, King Herod. They're all trying to find baby Jesus. But that's just the surface story. That's not the real story. The real story, you understand, is that God was coming to find us. Right? He was coming to be up close and personal with you and me. Now that's going to ruffle our feathers a little bit. I know it ruffles mine all the time. Because when God gets up and close and personal, it's embarrassing. It's humbling. You mean he knows all my thoughts? You mean he knows what I've said and done in the dark? You mean he isn't fooled by the facade I show to everyone else? No, he's not. So guess who's coming to your Christmas dinner? Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me. Jesus is standing at our Christmas door today, just like in the commercials, right? With the nice fancy wreath on grandma's house, the door of her house, right? Jesus is standing on our door knocking this Christmas, and he wants to come in. He came all the way from heaven to find you. Right? He came as a little boy in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. He came as a man to suffer and die on the cross for you, and he's standing at your door today knocking. Now, he does this all the time, mind you. It's not just Christmas Day, of course. Always he's knocking on our door with his word. And many times you and I say, go away, Jesus. You know, I'm busy right now. I'm busy doing what I want. And I come back another time. I'll catch you on Sunday, right? But there's another verse about knocking that we may not like. Jesus says that if we come knocking on his door when it's too late, then we will hear him say, I do not know you. Christmas is God knocking on our door, getting up close and personal. He wants to be near you. He wants His Word to enter into your ears. Because when His Word enters into your ears like it has done today, then the Holy Spirit enters into your heart. And when you think about it, you can't get much closer than that, right? That's a pretty good reason to be here, hearing His Word, because the Holy Spirit is knocking on the door of our heart and saying, come in, or let me come in and give you a clean heart, a right spirit. God wants to be near us. And finally, I don't think there's any way, any picture you could give that is more clear about this than the Lord's Supper. Christ, your Savior, wants to be so near to you that He wants you to eat and drink His very body and blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. He wants you to depart this place in peace with His words, lo, I am with you always, to the end of the age. That's close. Now, we can keep running away, and we're tempted to do that often, aren't we? I mean, we can keep running away and say, God, not too close, please. You're too close for comfort. Or we can simply open the door and say, come in, Jesus. Thank you for coming to find me. Thank you for being born for me. Please forgive my sin. Give me your Holy Spirit that I may live close to you always. Too close, maybe it's true with family sometimes, but it's never true with Jesus. There's no such thing as too close. I pray that all of you would keep Him always close with His Word and His forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.